listener supported through Consider His Word Ministries.
Consider His Word. Consider His Word. Consider His Word.
From the heart of the Florida Everglades, this is the Consider His Word radio program. Today we want to encourage you to consider what God says in His Word, the Bible. I'm Pastor Arlen Payne, inviting you to join us as we open the Scripture together and consider His Word.
Consider His Word.
Welcome to Consider His Word 2026. We hope you join us today as we open the Scripture and consider His Word. As we begin a new year, I want to remind you about our prayer journals. We send out many of these and sent out many of them last year. They're absolutely free. All you've got to do is contact us, let us know where you're hearing our program today, and send us an address where we can send you one of our prayer journals. So here's how to contact us. You can do it through the website at considerhisword.org. Click on the link that says Contact Us. Secondly, you can email me directly at considerhiswordradio@gmail.com. And then finally, as many do, you can just simply write to us. Here's our address: Consider His Word Ministries, 30550 Josie Billy Highway, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. Let me give that to you one more time. Consider His Word Ministries, 30550, Box 40, Clewiston, Florida, 33440. We look forward to hearing from you. As we begin a new year and as we begin our program today, I would like to ask you to pray for us. We are asking God as to whether or not we should continue on throughout the whole year, or just what God has for our program. So pray for us and pray that we would be sensitive to God's will and what He would have us to do for this year concerning this ministry. And I appreciate you listening. Write to us. We'd love to hear from you and know that you're praying for us. Today we're going to begin in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. And I will tell you this, that you have, if you've been following Consider His Word, heard this message before and heard these programs before. Every year in our church, I again preach this program, the first Sunday of every year. I call it the most important because I believe it is. And as we get new people in our church, I want them to know what we believe are the most important things for your life, the most important things for the Christian life. If you're following the Lord at all, these should be priorities for you. And so I'm taking the time to give them to you again this year. You can go back and find similar programs from 2025, but I think it's good. It's not only good for you, it's good for me to look at these again, remind ourselves of the things that ought to be the absolutely most important things in our life. So I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 12. The Bible says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or power. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things, He might have the preeminence." The preeminence means to have the first place, the most important place, the uppermost place. And here the Scripture tells us that in all things, Jesus should have the most important place. I'll tell you what, the devil has a lot of things he'll give you to try to make them most important to you. And we can get caught up in those things. You see, when those things become more important than the Lord, they become idols, and we begin to serve them and worship them. It can happen with an individual. It can happen with your job. It could happen with your hobbies. You're so caught up in them that the things of God take a secondary place. You know, for many people, being in the Lord's house on the Lord's day, being in the Word of God, they have a hard time doing those things because they are not that important. It just drives me nuts when I'm out talking to people about the Lord and inviting them to church, and they may say something like this: well, if I don't have anything else to do, I might come. Well, I guarantee you, the devil will find something else for them to do. He always will. He's a distractor, and he's a liar. And he does not want you sitting in God's house, and he does not want you reading his word, and he does not want you serving the Lord. And so these things, if you keep these as the priority, I believe it will help you to stay on track for the rest of the year. And as I begin, I'm asking you to make a commitment to these things. The first one I call the Great Commandment. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4 and 5. Scripture says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." Now he goes on and explains what we should do with this commandment. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart." Remember from Psalm, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt walk, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates." This is such a priority that God told us to diligently teach them from our children. I think here's a place where many parents have failed in teaching their children to love the Lord. This verse was so important to the Jewish people. In fact, it became known as the Great Commandment. Why do we call it that? Because Jesus did. You go back into the New Testament in Matthew 22, Jesus had been preaching, and the Sadducees and Pharisees and all these people had heard Jesus speak. I want to begin in verse 34, and you'll see what happens here and why we call it the Great Commandment. Verse 34, now this is Matthew 22. Beginning in verse 34, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer," yeah, go figure, "asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?'" What is the great commandment in the law? "Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.'" Does this sound familiar? Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 6, 5. He went on to say, and the second, verse 38, almost skipped it. Verse 38, "This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." You know, sometimes we get so caught up in the day-to-day that we forget that we've got to love the Lord more than anything. That thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. Some come with a half a heart, or maybe just an eighth of a heart, but they don't come with their whole heart. And when we can sit down and make up our mind that we're going to love the Lord with everything in us, listen, it will change your life. It will change how you live. It will change how you view the world. Now, we could break it down this way. The great commandment is simply to love God with everything. To love God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. You know, if you could get this right, then everything else is going to fall into place. It gives him first place and gives him that priority. The preeminence, it said in Colossians, to love the Lord. It's that simple, just to love God more than anything else. Remember when Jesus, after he had risen from the dead, Peter and John and a few others had gone fishing, and Jesus called Peter in and asked him the question, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? Now, just before, Peter had said, I'm going fishing, but I would ask you to consider your own heart and your life. Lovest thou me? Do you love me more than you love your career, than you love your house, your car, than you love things, or maybe people? Do you love him most of all? Now, the second, he said, was likened to it. He said, we love God, we love people. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. He said, it's the second great commandment. I think it's all part of the first, that we love God and love people. We never lose sight of the great commandment. We are to teach it to our children, as he said here, to remind them, he said, when we're just sitting around, when we're walking in the way, today might be driving down the road, when you're sitting in the house, when you go to bed, when you get up, you've got to be determined and intentionally teach your children to love the Lord. Now, I want you to notice a promise. I want to go back to Deuteronomy and go back to chapter 11 this time, because there's a promise that comes with this. And now, remember, it's a great commandment. In Deuteronomy 11, beginning in verse 13, the scripture says, and it shall come to pass that if ye hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain, the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thine wine and thy oil, and I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, pay attention, that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heavens that there be no rain, and the land yield not her fruit, unless you perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord has given you. Verse 13, now, therefore shall you lay up these words in your heart and bind them for a sign upon thy hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And very similar words to what we saw before. And in verse 21, he says, that your days may be multiplied in the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them as the days of heaven upon the earth. The great commandment. Will you make a commitment to that great commandment today? We'll continue next week. Thanks for listening. God bless you.
Consider his word. Consider his word. Consider his word.
Thanks for listening today. Like us on Facebook and visit our website at considerhisword.org. This is Pastor Arlen Payne saying, till next time, God bless you as you consider his word.